listener production.
Australia Today's Morning Agenda with Natasha Belling.
Welcome to another edition of the summer series of Morning Agenda, where we take a look back at the stories and events that have set the agenda in 2022. Today, we are looking at road safety and how to keep our teenagers safe when they're behind the wheel. This year, five teenagers, some as young as 14, were killed in a horror car crash southwest of Sydney. Unfortunately, this horror car smash was just one of many across the country this year. But this latest tragedy has again sparked the really important conversation and debate about what causes these deadly crashes and how we can better prepare and educate young Australians about the danger on our roads. One of the key campaigners of youth road safety in our country is Peter McGuinness. Peter and his wife Melissa's son Jordan killed four innocent people on a major Queensland freeway in 2012 when he smashed into a parked car while under the influence of alcohol and drugs. Jordan was also killed that night. He was 18. But Peter and Melissa are adamant they don't want sympathy. They're now using their loss to help educate others. The couple has now set up the You Choose Youth Road Safety Campaign. And one of its clear messages is these deadly car crashes are not accidents. They say every teenager makes a life or death decision when they jump behind the wheel or are in the car with others. Peter says we can prevent these deadly crashes, but making responsible decisions is the key to saving lives. And Peter joins us now. Peter, thanks so much for joining us for this special episode of Morning Agenda.
Thank you, Natasha, for the invitation and the warm welcome. It's a pleasure to speak with you again.
This is such an important topic for so many Australians, youth road safety. All of us want to do everything we possibly can to keep our children and other children and young adults safe. I was doing some research before our chat today with your website, youchooseyrs.org.au, You Choose Road Safety, and there was a great video there that really encapsulated about your story. If I can just play some audio for you before we start our chat, Peter, from Melissa. Let's take a listen to what actually happened with your son, Jordan, in 2012.
Jordan was returning from his work Christmas party and he had been drinking. At some point, he'd smoked some marijuana and he was speeding in excess of 30 kilometres of the speed limit. And somewhere around about Beenleigh, he hit a guardrail but continued on. When he got to just about 3 kilometres north of Dreamworld, he hit a broken down stationary car on the side of the highway that contained five young adults.
One of the darkest scenes on the M1. Five young lives taken in one hit.
The car exploded into flames and the other four young adults died as a result of that explosion.
Peter, I'm so sorry for your loss and Melissa's loss with losing your 18-year-old son, Jordan, in 2012. How do you ever recover or begin to take anything positive after such an horrific accident and horrific event?
Well, thank you for sympathising, Natasha. We don't seek sympathy out of any of this. The sympathy very much belongs with Jordan's victims and Jordan's victims' families, and in fact with all victims of road trauma. So certainly we don't seek sympathy. What we seek is change, and that change project and that appetite to understand the social influences on young people and so on, which shape their decisions as passengers and drivers, is how we go on, is how we carry such weight that we do carry. So I guess that's a long answer to your short question. The grief doesn't stop, but you do find ways of carrying it. And certainly the You Choose Youth Road Safety mission is a way for us to seek to make good on such tragic circumstances.
Peter, road safety is so incredibly important and you must be increasingly frustrated. And when we see horrific accidents like happened this year in Buxton in September where five teenagers were killed in Sydney's southwest. We saw literally a week later, somehow a number of teenagers escaped from a horrific other car accident in Beverly Hills. We see the media start to focus attention on road safety when we have these horrific fatalities. And then we don't keep that focus there. What is going on with young drivers today, and how can we make a change to that dangerous culture?
Yeah, all really astute points, Natasha. You asked me at the start of that question, am I frustrated? And of course, I share the community's frustration in the rising overrepresentation of 16 to 25-year-olds in youth road trauma, in all road trauma statistics, sorry. And that bears repeating, rising. So 16 to 25-year-olds are overrepresented in fatalities and serious injury. And those statistics are actually going up in most reporting jurisdictions around Australia. So while we have never had safer cars, and of course we should continue to invest in safer cars and safer roads, and while we've never put more effort and investment into driver education, skills training and reenactment programs, and while there's never been more stringent laws, more stringently policed, these statistics are heading in the wrong direction. So we should be curious as to why. Why is this happening? Well, quite obviously, the most skillful driver in the safest car, on the safest road, in the most stringently policed jurisdiction, is still making decisions which destroy their own families and the families of others. And we've learned that a big part of why this happens is the cultural milieu that we all grow up in Australia. Our shared attitudes and behaviours when it comes to driving. And just small things make up big parts of this. And I'll point to your preamble there, Natasha. You mentioned the word accident two or three times when you were asking me that question. Well, I can tell you that veteran road policing officers, not just in Australia but around the world, will tell you that they have almost never attended a serious crash that is a genuine act of God or an accident.
Yeah, right.
They're nearly always caused by choices. So an example in our own lived experience is that our son didn't have an accident. He made a series of choices. The accident happened to his victims. So that's an example of the starting point that we need to undertake in terms of busting Australia's comforting myths about road use. It's a long arc project to change attitudes and behaviours. It's not something that can be taught. So we can teach skills. We can teach reenactment programs. We can teach compliance and regulations. But you cannot teach attitudes and behaviours. Our attitudes and behaviours in context with road use start from the cradle, the way that we're surrounded by information from our parents and everyone else from the second we start getting into cars. So there's not a simple solution to this, Natasha, and we don't propose one. And of course, at YouTube, we also don't propose to have all the knowledge. But what we do know is that we can reinforce existing orthodox methods like skills, driver ed, reenactments, with an effort to empower young people to change the world around them for the better by shaping their own attitudes and behaviours as passengers, and also their attitudes and behaviours as passengers and drivers in those around them.
Peter, do you think it makes a big difference today about what young Australians, teenagers, are being exposed to online? I know that all of us think we're invincible and that it won't happen to us. It does happen to many people and it tears people's lives apart forever.
Yeah, there's plenty of evidence that dates back decades, Natasha, that say that we are certainly subliminally affected and numbed to violence, numbed to antisocial behaviour, numbed to rational decision-making processes through the likes of entertainment and gaming and so on. But perhaps more so, the very current generation of teens shape each other's behaviours, their expectations of each other, the way they influence each other, the permissions they give each other to speak up in ways that we cannot understand. And when I say we, I'm talking about people even over 25. Mm. I think one of the big mistakes that we make when we approach certainly road safety education is that we feel like we have all the knowledge, and that knowledge and the challenge is to teach that knowledge at teenagers. Well, we don't really understand contemporary teens simply because we were once teenagers. So if we consider and we hold to the paradigm that teenagers are the problem that needs solving, we're missing a really important point, because we have to make teenagers integral, in fact, central to social solutions when it comes to driving and passenger behaviours.
Such a great point, Peter. Look, there's been a lot of proposals put forward after we've seen these horrific incidences recently and so many young lives lost and changed forever. We've seen proposals put forward saying we should be changing the age you can apply for your L&P licence. There's another proposal to actually ensure that other teenagers aren't in the car if there is a P-planer. Do you think there's any solutions like this that may work?
Mm. We thoroughly support a range of regulatory changes, Natasha, to that, and certainly when it comes to how many passengers a P-plater carries. But like all social change issues, road safety is complex. There's not one single answer. And if I could encourage the community overall, and specifically road safety stakeholders around the country, to embrace the idea that it's not just a regulatory challenge. It's not just an engineering challenge. It's not only a policing challenge. It's not just a youth justice and a behavioural challenge. It's a multitude of complex issues that make up the reasoning behind why young people make the decisions that they make around their behaviours as passengers and drivers. Mm. In Australia, we tend to think down the silos of government because it's our first instinct to look to government for every answer. So you'd know this even with your talkback experiences, Natasha. When one of these appalling tragedies like Buxton happens, or the crash that our son Jordan caused, there'll be an outpouring of opinion. Mm. They need more skills program. We need tighter laws. We need to impound vehicles. We need to do lots of it. And most of it is true. But in Australia, we could be a lot better at synthesising all of these solutions together, thinking outside of the silos of government and coming up with a coordinated approach.
Yeah, so incredibly well said, Peter. And I know both you and Melissa have made such a difference, because you're now trying to make a change, a difference with youth road safety by going and talking to school communities. When you've spoken to teenagers, what's the comment that's really stopped you in your tracks? Because I've seen a lot of feedback saying they can't believe this, you know, your talk, your experience, it has made a difference. What are some of the comments that you've heard thinking, okay, we are making a change here?
Yeah, good point. Look, when we started this in 2017, we had the conceit to think that simply sharing a lived experience or sharing a story would be enough of itself as a cautionary tale. And within months, in fact, within weeks, it became really obvious that such impact that you choose could have on the community would be through learning from teenagers, not teaching them, have an appetite to understand them, curiously seek out how they operate within their friendship groups when it comes to road use. So the very first thing that took us back was that we tend to be mistaken as adults in conceiving of negative peer pressure as being the main driver of reckless the main instigator of reckless behaviour when it comes to road use, you know, people egging themselves on to drive recklessly. We hold on to that as central to these behaviours. In fact, we've learned, and we're continuing to learn this, that passivity is equally, if not more, to blame for reckless behaviours. And what I mean by passivity It's thoughtlessness, not speaking up, understanding that we're doing reckless things, but not doing anything about it. Passively getting into cars with people we know who drive recklessly. Passively developing small but lethal habits, doing 10 kilometres an hour over the speed limit, having too many people in the car, allowing people in your car to not have their seatbelts on. Passive behaviour is at the bottom of so much of this tragedy, Natasha. And while we focus, I guess, our public attention on determined lawbreakers or street racers, it's so frequently not that determined lawbreaker, that drag racer, that actually causes these terrible tragedies. It's so often passivity. Now, I'm in no way saying that we shouldn't focus on hooning and street racing and all of that stuff. Of course we should. But when we do put all of our focus onto it, we tend to miss the point that it's so often that unlikely person, the person we didn't think would behave in these ways, the person that's not the obvious person that would behave in these ways, that does. And that's not just about drivers either, Natasha. It's also about passenger behaviour.
So incredibly well said, Peter. I could speak with you all day about this because this is such an important topic and we can make such a difference. Peter, thank you so much for joining us. Where can people go to find out more information about your campaign?
Natasha, yeah, it is a social project, as you point out. Just like any social change project that teenagers take to their hearts. And you can find out more about how your school community or your community group can participate in the You Choose mission through our website, which is at youchooseyrs.org.au. And you can follow what the mission is all about on our socials, which you'll find easily at You Choose Youth Road Safety or You Choose YRS.
Peter, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Natasha.
Listener.